would have stayed a little longer, if only a little tighter, than what I'd give for one more day with you. I wish I could cause there's a wound here in my heart for something to see, and they tell me that it's calling me. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours reveals this human mind, the only scars heaven. It won't be long until we get you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old we've been.
Rupture, flesh injury, laceration. Can I remind you, Isaiah 53? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Zechariah, someone asked, what are these wounds? In thine hands. And the answer is, they are the scars I got when I came to be the Savior of the world. Someone has said what Miss Anita just sang. The scars of Jesus is the only man-made thing which will be in heaven. Scars. No story. Let's pray and get started on the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for a Sunday that we set aside, not to just come and assemble, but to come and remember, be reminded of the greatest sacrifice ever made. Help us to never forget it. And Lord, help us today as we unpack these verses in the New Testament that simply take over where Zechariah left off in the Old Testament. For that, Lord, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you know, I just got back from the Southern Baptist Convention. Cheryl and I did earlier this month. We do have handouts for those that would like that as an update on that are right there. Some of you got them last week. Tells you some of the key things we did there. One of the key things that took place in Indianapolis, the Southern Baptist Convention 2024, was 83 missionaries were vetted to be sent out to the world, to the nations, by Southern Baptist churches like ours, to go out and present the gospel. One of the most precious couples that were vetted were couples that went to the nations, leaving our country, going out to the nations, to present the gospel in sign language. Bless my heart. It blessed my heart. Because one of the most beautiful languages that we have is the language of the hearing impaired, called sign language. It's communication that can be heard by sight. It's a beautiful thing. The word fear in sign language is this. So if you see somebody doing this, it's something they're fearful about. It's like, so that tells somebody that can't hear, that can see, this means fear. The word love is a word that most of you know in sign language. It's the sign like this or like this, simply telling someone, it's like someone's hugging you. For God so loved the world. Fear, sign language stuff. It's communication to folks that can't hear, but they can see. The word Jesus in sign language is this. That's how his beautiful name is described in sign language. It tells people that can't hear. It tells people that I want to tell you about somebody, and they describe him like this. Probably most of us here this morning have a scar or two. Maybe your scar came from an accident, a mishap, an injury. And just speaking for the just in general terms, folks that have scars, most would probably prefer to get rid of their scars, to erase the memory of when they got the scar. You see, each scar tells a story. You're in John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is the Easter resurrection passage. Here's what it says in verse 19. Then the same day, Easter, the same day, Sunday, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. What a beautiful verse, what a beautiful picture, what a beautiful part of the story that was bad just right before that. They crucified Jesus. They killed Jesus. Jesus voluntarily gave up his life on Calvary that day. He'd been buried for 3 days and for 3 nights. And on this early Sunday morning, he resurrected on this Sunday morning. He defeated the grave. On this Sunday morning, he defeated death. And for 3 days, his disciples have been fearful. They've been scared. They've been running. They're shaking in their boots, thinking, man, if they took our leader and did what they did to him, we could be next. And here they are assembled together. That word assembled means It means the church where we gather. Ecclesia is the word. We assemble. And so they're having church here 3 days after Jesus had died and been buried. And here they are assembled together right here in verse 19. Out of nowhere, Jesus shows up. He just shows up in their midst. And it's so much like Jesus. He says, peace be unto you. Look at the next verse there in verse 20. And when he had said, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, I don't know if they didn't recognize him. I don't know if they didn't know who he was when he came through the walls. I don't know if they knew that that was the Lord, the resurrection Christ. I don't know, but we do know that when he showed them his hands, when he showed them his scars, when he showed them his wounds and his hands and his side, according to John's gospel, those disciples that were shaking in their boots, scared for their life, fraidy cats, thinking that they could be next on the list of those that would be killed, the disciples who were fearful in verse 19, they find Jesus and found Jesus and knew it was Jesus. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The Gospel of John chapter 20 is the account of Jesus appearing to disciples after the resurrection, after he arose from the grave. Don't miss it. He was in the same body, but that old body had been restored. It's not still human. Now it's glorified body. It was a perishable human body prior, and he died. But in this body, they see it that it's now been raised imperishable. Jesus' body was free of decay. Jesus' body was free of pain. Jesus' body was free of suffering, but it wasn't free of scars. Have you ever wondered why God didn't just fix him up totally? That he didn't have a complete makeover? In his glorified body, you would think that there'd be no scars, there'd be no wounds. Jesus kept his scars to remind us the suffering that he endured. In Isaiah 53, the prophecy is so vivid. The picture of this pain is so real. To remind us how Jesus, the Son of God, suffered for the sin of the world. The Bible goes on to say in Isaiah 53, he was wounded. He goes on to say he was bruised. He goes on to say he was beaten. He goes on to say that he was slapped. As we as Christians enjoy eternal, one day, eternal perfection in heaven, Jesus will display 5 visible scars. Scars tell a story. He'll have one scar in his right palm. He'll have one scar in his left palm. He'll have one scar in his right foot. He'll have another scar in his left foot. He'll have one scar in his side. 5 scars that we know of. Jesus kept his scars to remind us of the suffering that he endured. Dr. Luke, in his Gospel of Luke, in chapter 22, verse 44, he educates the readers how Jesus' sweat mingled with blood as he prayed. It's a disease called hemohidrosis. That when a man, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God, but as a man, Jesus prayed so earnestly. He prayed with extreme anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had so much physical human strain upon himself as he prayed like no one's ever prayed. And it caused the capillaries in the blood vessels to burst. He suffered before he ever went to the cross. But then Jesus, he was suffering. He carries the scars because of the suffering. And then Jesus was suffered from being scourged. Being scourged was known as the death sentence. Terribly brutal. As the criminal, the convict, was beaten, was whipped with a cat of 9 tails, which simply means that there was 9 leather straps that came from a handle. And in those straps was braided, within the straps, was embedded within the straps, pieces of stone, pieces of metal, pieces of pottery, pieces of bone. A cat of 9 tails had 9 leather straps with all these elements embedded, braided inside the leather straps, so that when the expert scourger would scourge a criminal, those 9 leather straps, the law said you can only give 39 stripes, 40 minus 1, 39 stripes. But if you take 39 stripes times 9 leather straps, 351 pieces of leather hitting the back, the buttocks, the back of the legs, around the sides, the shoulders, the arms, of the man that was crucified. A man that never did anything, a man that was sin free until the sin of the world was placed upon him. He sweat turned to blood, mixed with blood. The scourging was a suffering that many criminals never made it to the cross. Those leather straps, 351 times, would simply cut, rip, tear, skin, flesh. Yeah, he was wounded. And the scars in heaven is going to tell us, that the scars are going to be there to remind us of the suffering. After he was scourged, after his sweat mingled with blood from the anguish and the physical strain of praying for that day to do God's will, to go to the cross. Then his hands, and then his feet were nailed to a cross. The Roman soldiers took 5 to 7 inch spikes. On purpose, they would aim for the median nerve, knowing that it would just cause excruciating pain. Unbearable pain and suffering. Scourge. Spikes. Isaiah 53 says that then the spear they put in his side. Where the Bible says that the blood mingled with water flowed out. Medical terms, it simply meant that he died of a broken, exploding heart. The scars in heaven will be there to remind us of the suffering he endured. Secondly, the reason for the scars is Jesus kept his scars to remind them it was really him. See, the disciples knew that Jesus had died on the cross. The disciples knew that he was buried for 3 days. But the disciples were like us. They had doubt in their DNA. And Jesus shows up of the room and had to show them the print in his hands, the wounds in his hands, the scars in his hand, as well as the scar on his side. Verse 20 says he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the... See, those scars in heaven are going to be for a reminder of how he suffered, but it's going to be a reminder that that's who he is. You see, scars tell a story. His scars told a story. The story is the evidence proved there was nothing he could not overcome, not even death. Verse 19, the disciples were fearful for their lives, fearing the Jews, the same ones that turned on Jesus. But once they see Jesus, once they see the scars, once they notice that it's him in a glorified body, except for the scars, the wounds. Once they see Jesus, he says, "Peace be unto you." When they saw those forever scars, knowing everything is under your right, it's him. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. He overcame 3 days of being buried as a savior of God. The third and last thing this morning is Jesus kept his scars to remind them he defeated death. He defeated death. You see, death is the ultimate enemy to one and all. Because no one escapes. The only way anybody's going to escape is if and when the rapture takes place. Other than that, we're all going to meet Father Time. He wins every time. And Jesus said this in Matthew 10. Jesus foretold, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul. And Jesus will have those scars forever. Forever scars in heaven. Man-made scars in heaven. To remind us that he defeated death. Let me ask you this morning. Do you ever think about death? Do you ever think about dying? Do you ever think about when your time's up and what's going to happen and how your service is going to go and how folks are going to react? Does death have a grip on you? Does the fear of death steal your joy? Now, I want you to look real quick. In John 20, you're right there in verse 24. I'll introduce you to, Reuben said it was Peter. It's really Doubting Thomas. He got himself. But Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. But I want you to see Thomas the powder. He's pouting. Jesus is dead. The leader's gone. But he's pouting about. Because death was real then, it's real now. He realized you die, that's it. That's what they thought. That's the way it's always been. People don't raise themselves from the grave, they're dead. And so he's pouting. In verse 24, but Thomas, you remember all these disciples are up here together, and Thomas is not there. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He's hiding himself. He's on his own. Jesus is dead. He's pouting like we had our trust in this man. We had our faith in this man. And now he's dead. Pouting. And then look at Thomas the doubter. We see Thomas the powder. Look at Thomas the doubter in verse 25. Then the other disciples therefore came unto him. We have seen the Lord. But he, that's Thomas, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not. He's pouting. He's doubting. Remember I said that disciples had doubt in their DNA, and sometimes we do too. Thomas had it in his DNA. The disciples were excited. They found Jesus. They wanted Thomas to know. Jesus is alive, they told him. We've seen the Lord with our own eyes, they told him. And Thomas said, excuse me, fellas, but except I see his hands and his feet and the nail prints in his side, I will not. Thomas the powder. Thomas the doubter. But in verse 26, we see Thomas the shouter. The shouter. Look at verse 26. And 3 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas, this time, was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. 8 days after he was pouting, 8 days after he was doubting, 8 days, Jesus appears to Thomas that's with the group of disciples. Look at verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, Jesus is speaking, the glorified Jesus, the risen Savior, speaks directly to Thomas. And he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Jesus said, come here, Thomas. Reach your finger right here. Feel my scars. Feel my hands. And apparently Thomas could see the scars. And in verse 28, he just had a moment. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God. My Lord. He didn't have to feel them. He didn't have to. He saw the forever scars that was there in heaven to remind us of his suffering, to remind us that he overcame death, to remind us of who he is." This morning, maybe you've got some scars that are buried. They're invisible to the public. They're scuffled. They're covered. But you know about them. And when you think about those scars, or you personally see your own scars, it reminds you of a painful day, a painful time, a painful journey, a painful incident. I'm here this morning to let you know that the forever scars, the forever scarred hands of Jesus covers our earthly scars, our earthly hurts, our earthly wounds, our earthly brokenness. And it covers the disfigurement of our sins. And not only do they get covered, but our sins get forgiven. And the blessings of forgiveness and healing. Boy, do we serve a good God. Boy, do we have a good Savior. And his scars are going to be visible to remind us of his suffering, to remind us who he is, and to remind us he defeated our number one enemy death. This morning, as we approach the Lord's Supper table, fifth Sundays here at Spratling, we partake in this ordinance. This morning, as we come to the Lord's Supper table and talk to you in this room, don't give up on me yet. If you're a doubter, if you're a powder, and you've never professed faith in what Christ did, I just talked about what he did for you. You never placed your faith in what he did for you, what he did for me, what he did for us, then I would encourage you to think about joining myself, joining the likes of Thomas, and make Jesus Lord and God of your life. Amen. Jesus died for our scars. Jesus arose for our scars. Jesus will heal our scars in eternity. The minute you die, the minute I die, the minute we die as Christians, here's what the Bible says is going to happen. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. John the Revelator says in chapter 1, or he says in the book of Revelation, he says, when we die, we shall see his face. Amen. But in Revelation 1, the same John that God inspired to write, "We shall see his face," he says, "I look into heaven, and the heaven clouds roll back." It revealed Revelation. It revealed, and I saw Jesus. John said, "I was on the Isle of Patmos, and I'm looking up to heaven, and I see Jesus." And he said, "His hair was white was white as snow. He said he had eyes that were like a flame of fire. He said his feet was like new brass. John was trying, he couldn't even explain what it looked like. And he said it was like it, it was this, here's what it looked like to me. And he described what Jesus is going to look like. So we're going to heaven. And he's already said we're going to see his face. But as you and I go through the gates, if there's gates there that we're going to go through, we talk about that. We know there's gates. We know there's walls there. Hey, if we go through the gates and we're going towards Jesus, maybe Jesus is going to do this. Maybe as he sees you coming, as me coming, or the last person that departed coming as a Christian, maybe good way. Won't see it. Just wave. Or maybe he'll do what hosts do when they have visitors at their house. When you had someone over, you stand up and you say, "Welcome." And when he's welcomed us to the greatest place we'll ever be, we'll see his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe. Or just maybe when you get close to him, and I get close to him, like he did so many times through Scripture, he just put his arm around somebody and loved them. And we'll see that compassion, we'll see that love, we'll see that unconditional, it never ends, and we'll see that star in his hands to be ever reminded about how he defeated death. And how he has the evidence to show that's who he is. Jesus will wear the marks, the scars of the battle he faced on your behalf and mine forever. The Lord's Supper is for the purpose to remember. To remember. His broken body. His sacrifice. For the Reuben, if you're in your group, want to come up here?
Would you pay attention to the song
that we sing about before we distribute the elements this way?
Page 408 if you want to follow with us. Forgiveness, faith, and dream. His
is my blood poured out for you. Make it remembrance. This is our freedom, this is our God. His body broken, his sacrifice. This is our freedom, this was the cross. The night he shed on the cross. Love I need, oh, and share with me, oh, with peace. You are my body, my hands and feet, with every embrace of me. This is our freedom. This is our life. His body broken, his sacrifice. This is our freedom. This was the cost. The blood he shed on the
two things for those that think the Lord's Supper. One, you have to be saved. Has it been a time in your life where you by faith was simple child?